Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, back to the Gary Parish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN with Jeff Calkins on today's show. Presented by the Blue Monkey.
Jeff Calkins is your award-winning columnist, Daily Memphian, host of the Jeff Calkins Show. That's weekdays 9 to 11. He joins me every day after 5 o'clock. It's after 5 o'clock. He's here right now. Jeff Calkins, how are you?
I'm good, GT.
So yesterday, among the things I asked you was, are you actually going to FedEx Forum for Memphis-Tulane? Because Tulane is terrible, and you said, I wouldn't miss it for the world. And good thing you didn't, because you did get to see something that happened on a historic night. Jeremiah Martin goes for 43 points. It's an efficient 43 points. Becomes the first Memphis player in history to score at least 40 points twice in the same college career. Let's start there for a second. When you first heard that last night, that no Memphis player had ever scored 40 twice in a college career, did that surprise you? It surprised me.
Well, it didn't surprise me only because when he scored, it would have surprised me 3 weeks ago, but when he scored 41 against South Florida, I happened to look up all of the other 40 points. Like, I didn't know at that time when he did that Larry was the leader with 48. So then I happened to look up all of the others because I wanted to see how many, if any of the others had been in a loss, you know, because it's not, he wasn't happy after the 41 against South Florida. He was legitimately disconsolate. Like, he was really depressed after the 41 against South Florida. And so I went and looked. And the other person who had 40-plus in a loss was Elliot, actually. Elliot Perry did. So what shocked me originally looking at that list was, yes, there weren't two people. There wasn't anyone who'd done 40 twice. And, like, Keith Lee never scored 40 points. Penny Hardaway never scored 40 points. So people on that list, there's Win Wilfong's on that list, and a guy named Dick. I forgot his last name. Kinder. Dick Kinder's on the list, who I'd never heard of before I looked at the list. But a lot of the true greats, I mean, I think you would have to say that Penny and Keith Lee, along with Larry, are the three greats, and two of them never scored 40 even once.
Yeah, like, I was in studio last night, and we have this segment in the Inside College Basketball show that we do at the end of the night. Every night, we have a segment. It's called Inside the Stats. It's really just a graphic with some bullet points, big number things that might otherwise be off of people's radar. Exactly like, you know, a player for an unranked team scoring more than 40. And so when I see you guys who were inside FedEx Forum tweeting, Jeremiah Martin just became the first Memphis player to score at least 40 points twice in a University of Memphis career, I sort of pass it along to my producer. And I say, hey, this might be good for Inside the Stats. He said, okay, what is it? I said, Jeremiah Martin just finished with 43 points, and he's the first Memphis player in history to score at least 40 twice in his college career. And the producer, who is, you know, has a very surface level understanding of Memphis basketball because, like, he's from New York. Why would he,
right,
you know, be that tuned in? But he was like, really? Like, that Penny Hardaway never did that, or Derrick Rose never did that, or Chris Douglas Roberts never did that? And so I do think, like, I don't know, you would have just thought that somebody somewhere would have done it, but no, it's Jeremiah Martin. The trivia question was, at least for now, the answer. If the trivia question is, name the one University of Memphis basketball player who has scored at least 40 twice, the answer is Jeremiah Martin, which is wild considering, as you pointed out in your column at dailymemphian.com, he was, I think, the least heralded player in an 8-player recruiting class signed by Josh Pastner, a borderline top 400 prospect in America. To go from that to this, pretty remarkable.
Oh, it's astonishing. I mean, he didn't sign until April. And it's because he had obviously committed to Louisiana Tech. And he was like, that was a Dedrick Lawson class. That was a hell of a class. He was on the floor when Dedrick had his coming out party against Oklahoma, you know, in that game. And no one paid any attention to him. He scored a total of 73 points in his first season. He has, if you take the second half of the South Florida game and last night, he scored more than 73 points in those three halves combined. So to start where he started and to become what he's become is, and I think that's what partly differentiates him from, like we were talking about today on my show, the greatest Memphis players post John Calipari, the post John Calipari era. And if you look at them, it's, I think it's Joe, and I think it's Will Barton, and I think it's Dedrick, and honestly, I think those are the I think those are the three that you would put up there, really. And all three of those guys are incredibly heralded. McDonald's All-American Joe, wasn't he? Will Barton, I don't know if he's American All-Americans, but he was incredibly well-regarded, top 10 recruit, wasn't he? And Dedrick, like those guys all came in and they were supposed to be stars. Jeremiah was just supposed to be nothing. He was just a throw-in. He was, gosh, we need someone. We need to have an extra slot. He's got some promise. He's kind of athletic. He can guard a little. Let's take a shot at him. And then on the day that he committed, he said, and it's just like he's always been about, he's one of these guys, and it's why the whole fib about Memphis kids not wanting to play for Memphis was always misguided, because even there, it wasn't the height of the John Calipari era. It wasn't the height of the Gene Bartow era. It wasn't the height of the Larry Finch, Penny Hardaway era. It was in the later days of the Josh Pastner era when things had started to go wrong. You had Jeremiah saying, I just want to show up for my city. Like, that is in him. And I think that's why people were so happy for him, and why Penny was aware and wanted him to get to 40, and why his teammates, and it's not always easy to be like excited about everyone else's accomplishments around you. Sometimes you want to be the person accomplishing it. But all of his teammates, including people like Tyler, loves to score himself, right? But they were like giddy with happiness over what Jeremiah was accomplishing, because I think people understand what Jeremiah is all about.
And it was 43 points in a game where he also had, and this almost just sort of gets glossed over, 8 assists, 6 rebounds, 5 steals. He was 15 of 24 from the floor. So this isn't one of those deals. I could reasonably and accurately argue, like if you wanted to nitpick it, it is somewhat tempo-related. Like Memphis plays right. So fast now there's so many more scoring opportunities for Jeremiah and everybody else. But this isn't one of those, like, you know, he was 15 of 42. You know, he was... You know, 15 of 24 is an incredibly efficient night. And so it didn't come in, like, you know, sometimes you see somebody, Kobe Bryant was great at this, like going out and getting big numbers but taking 8,000 shots. He's been on this string of games that he's had where he's gotten 41 once, 43 another time, been above 30 another time. He's been mostly efficient. And I don't know whether he's the best basketball player in the American Athletic Conference. Like he stated he believed he was this past weekend, but I don't know that he ain't, and I do know this. He's playing as well as anybody else in that league, and arguably as well as anybody else in the country right now.
Well, two things. One is he actually he would have been more efficient, because I think he started out like 13 or 15. But at the end, they were clearly trying to get him to 40. So as he said, he was taking shots he didn't want to take. And so even that, which was stunningly efficient, was – less efficient than it actually would have been. He was getting stuff purely within the flow of the game. It is funny, though. Like, Jason Smith asked Penny afterwards, he said, all these great players who play for Memphis, you know, Keith Lee and you and Larry and everybody else. He said, like, and here he is, Jeremiah Martin. Why is that? And Penny said, it's the system. He said, it's the place of the game. Like, that's what he said. He said, basically, he said, I don't like to blow my own horn, but, you know, it's us. You know, we put him in the, and he wasn't, because he went on to be extraordinarily complimentary of Jeremiah and said he literally wanted Jeremiah to get to 40 because he wanted it for Jeremiah as a reward for everything Jeremiah has done for the program over the last 4 years. But even Penny said, and it is true, like, there are more points to be had. And so that is part of it, but it isn't all of it, because it's very clear he is not forcing anything. He really is, in a certain way, he's like Memphis's James Harden now. The whole thing flows through him. It's been unbelievable.
Well, it is, you know, Penny, I don't know his motivation for answering that question the way he answered, other than he might have just been telling the truth like he usually does when you ask him a question.
He always tells the truth. Like last night, someone asked him what was going on with Alo, because Alo didn't play in the second half, right? And what does most coaches say this? They say, you know, just personnel decision. He was, you know, whatever, just coach's decision or whatever. He said, oh, I tried to put him in at the end of the, with a minute and a half to get in the first half. And he was pouty, so I said, go sit down, and I didn't play him in the second half. Like, he tells you exactly what happened. What happened was Alo wasn't happy going in with a minute and a half left in the first half, and so Penny said, screw you. You don't have to go in at all. Forget it. You sit out the rest of the game.
Yeah, so his motivation was probably just like you asked him a question, or Jason asked him a question. He told the truth the way he often does. But I will say that it is a recruiting tool as well, because prospects – particularly scorers, do care about raw scoring totals, or maybe not raw score, but like points per game is something that matters. And if you go somewhere like Virginia, because of the tempo at which they play, you're not going to score 20 points per game. Like, if that matters to you, like, I want to be, you know, I feel like I can get 20 a game at the college level. Well, you can't at Virginia. I don't care who you are. If you took Zion Williamson and put him at Virginia, he would not get 20 that often. Because of the tempo at which they play. But at Memphis, because they're playing so fast, if you do have prospects who care about scoring and like leading this in scoring and leading that in scoring, it is a real recruiting tool to explain to anybody, there are more points to be scored for everybody because we're going to get more shots up than almost anybody in the country. Like, that's a real thing that I think can be effective when it comes to recruiting.
Well, and it's also fun to play that way. What college basketball player doesn't like to say, I mean, Tubby used to say it, even though it was never true, we're going to get up and down the court, right? Like, everyone wants to get up and down the court. Just like on football, you want to have an attacking defense, and no one actually says, yeah, here's how we're going to play. We're going to have a really plotting style, and we're going to try to slow the game down and take the air out of the ball. No, we're going to get up and down, and that is how players want to play. I do think it's one of the things that's fun about this, and it's one of the reasons that even though I didn't know history was going to happen last night, you go to Memphis games because they're fun.
Talking to Jeff Calkins here on 92.9 FM ESPN. To circle back to the list of best Memphis players that enrolled at the University of Memphis post John Calipari, I do think you've got the three exactly right. We could quibble about the order, but it has to be Will Barton, Dedrick Lawson, and Joe Jackson in some order. And I think most people, because I was listening to you talk to Jeffrey about it earlier today, I think most people, according to the Twitter thread you were reading, came down on the side of Will Barton. I actually think it might be Dedrick Lawson. Like, Dedrick Lawson's having a better season right now than, I don't know, that's debatable. Dedrick Lawson might be a first-team All-American this season. He's putting up incredible numbers for a team that's ranked in the top 15 in the country. I think you could reasonably argue it's Dedrick Lawson, but it's either Dedrick Lawson or Will Barton, and then Joe Jackson's right there as well. And they were, as you pointed out, on the day they committed to Memphis, it was always the conversations were about, oh my God, how awesome are they going to be at Memphis? Are they going to lead Memphis to this or that or whatever? Dedrick was a McDonald's All-American. Joe was a McDonald's All-American. And I don't believe Will was, but it was only because for some reason – perhaps
he was a junior
remember.
Or something. I don't remember what it was.
Something. There was something that made him ineligible, if I remembering correctly, to be a McDonald's All-American. But he was a consensus top 10 player in America. If eligible, he would have been a McDonald's All-American. Whereas with Jeremiah Martin, to the extent that anybody asked a question about Jeremiah Martin, and they might not have, but to the extent anybody asked a question, it was like, will he ever even play at Memphis? And to go from that moment to doing something at Memphis that had never been done by a Memphis player before, he is like carving out his place in Memphis basketball history. It's true that he might leave that campus having never played in the NCAA tournament for the University of Memphis, and that's unfortunate. No fault of his own, but unfortunate. But he is still going to leave his place, if nothing else, in that record book with the way he's having the senior season.
Yeah, I think two things about that. One is, and he's also, what you hope, and I do think this is really sort of happening. I do think And obviously, culture changes every year. Next year's culture will be different than this year's culture. There's going to be a whole new group of players, et cetera. But I really do believe that, I mean, if you look at Tyler and Alo, they idolize Jeremiah. And I do think he is helping to sort of establish what this is supposed to mean, that Memphis basketball is supposed to mean something, and this is how you conduct yourself, and this is how hard you work. I mean, Alo had a bad night last night, and Jeremiah goes out of his way to say, look at me, it's a long career, and you don't have to figure it out in one night, just keep working, and your time will come. And I think those are important lessons. I think that's hopefully will be part of his legacy. He may not be here to harvest the fruits of his labors, but he would be here for the planting, if I can use that metaphor. Anyway, in terms of the best, it's really an interesting argument. Like, Joe, so much of it is tinged by, and by the way, I think Austin Nichols' sophomore year was awesome, too. I think on raw numbers, our friend Saluki Blue on Twitter said, I don't know what they were. There's only two players, whatever, who've ever averaged 19 points, 9 rebounds, 8, you know, 6, and I don't know what they were. And the two were Tim Duncan and Dedrick Lawson. Like, right. If you assemble a certain collection of numbers, his numbers were unbelievable his sophomore year. He was tremendous. And yet you look at Joe, and his numbers weren't as good, but Joe was tournament MVP twice and a player of the year once, Conference USA player of the year. I think people, Will Barton could play, and he was clearly the people's choice when I opened it up and asked people who they thought the greatest post-Calipari player was. And he could, I'm not sure he's not the answer, but I think part of the reason that people, like, A, his pro career is an influence a little bit, and then B, he was just so much fun, like, to watch, because he just attacked the game. And I think people sort of underrate Joe because there's this sort of moodiness that sort of people think about. They clearly hold Dedrick's early departure from Memphis against him in terms of thinking about his greatness. And so I don't know. And I don't know, you know, it's not done for Jeremiah. Well, maybe Jeremiah will be tournament MVP and carry Memphis into the NCAA tournament. And that is how he would even change his legacy.
Joe Jackson's career at Memphis, to me, feels like when the next great thing, if Zion Williamson went on to be a three-time All-Star and, you know, a very good player in the league for a long time, but never won a title, you know, never was like a 10-time All-Star, wasn't getting on these all-time great lists, you know, never won MVP of the league, you'd go, man, Zion Williamson was disappointing. And
How about Carmelo? What if he's Carmelo? Is Joe Carmelo, or is Carmelo better than Joe?
I mean, Carmelo's a Hall of Famer.
He's a Hall of Famer. But he never won a title. He's known as Pouty. He is a Hall of Famer. You're right. He's a Hall of Famer. And Joe is not. Yeah, you know.
Yeah,
Carmelo's
I mean,
a Hall of Famer. But it's funny. The way we think of Carmelo, though, is his best moment was winning the title at Syracuse. That was his best moment.
He's a 10-time All-Star.
10-time All-Star.
Yeah, I mean, think about that.
It is funny. People do not think well of Carmelo.
No. No. But he's a 10-time
All-Star. Carmelo's better than Joe. I mean, I know he's a better basketball player than Joe. but we're saying his pro career was better than Joe's college career.
There's no question. I guess I'd put it this way. Joe Jackson, without the expectations that he brought to the University of Memphis, had a remarkably accomplished 4-year career at the University of Memphis. He was the CUSA Player of the Year in 2013. He was 2-time, as you pointed out, CUSA Tournament MVP. In February of 2014, he was named one of 30 finalists for the Naismith College Player of the Year Award. Now, he didn't win it, but again, there was a point in time where he was considered one of the 30 best college basketball players in the country. And that's all great stuff. It's just it's not remembered properly by some because he entered Memphis as a McDonald's All-American who was the king of Memphis. And then he never took Memphis to a Sweet 16. And yeah, I think his – you know, there was a time where he, like, left the program for briefly, and he was considering transferring and all that. I think all of that plays into it. But if you do nothing but – like Jeremiah Martin's career ain't Joe Jackson's career. And no. Jeremiah Martin's being celebrated, and Joe Jackson's sort of like whatever. I think he's not properly appreciated because the expectations for him were so enormous that even though he did lots of really good stuff, it didn't quite meet expectations.
Well, and he sort of became a symbol of that era, too, right? I mean, that whole era felt a little bit like that. It was such a celebrated era, and yet they never got to where we wanted them to get. But yeah, it's interesting though. Like, I mean, very clearly he has had a better career than Jeremiah, unquestionably. Has he had a better 5-game stretch ever than Jeremiah? Unless you count a conference tournament, obviously conference tournament matters a lot. But I bet no one has had a more prolific 5-game stretch ever in Memphis history than Jeremiah.
I mean, he's on a roll. Like I said, he's playing clearly playing better than anybody in the American Athletic Conference right now, and arguably playing better or at least as well as anybody in the country right now. I don't think there's another player in the country who's had 2 40-point games this month, and certainly nobody's gotten 41 in one half, which is what Jeremiah did earlier this month. And so, no, he's operating at an extremely high level, and now we'll see what happens when they go to Wichita State this weekend. You making your first trip to Coke Arena?
I am. Yes. How is it? Have you been?
Yeah, I was there when it was like rocking and rolling. You know, Fred VanVleet, Ron Baker, right. And they were undefeated. So it might be a little different now than it was then. But when I was there, I mean, maybe it's like a lot of places. Like when it's rocking and rolling and the team is operating at a high level, then it's going to look one way, and maybe it looks a little different, in another time. For instance, like how different does FedEx Forum look this season as opposed to just last season, right? And it's based on a lot of different things, but buildings and environments can change. But it's a passionate fan base, and it'll be a coin flip game. The next four games, last four regular season games, at Wichita State, home against Temple, at Cincinnati, home against Tulsa, 2-2 is respectable, 3-1 you take it right now, right?
Yes, and yes, yeah, there's no question. 3-1 you would take it right now. 2-2 is respectable.
3-1 gets you to 11-7 in the American Athletic Conference heading into the AAC tournament, and that would maybe put you in a position to be a top 4 seed in the AAC tournament. But we'll talk about all that another day. I'll see you later.
Bye-bye.
That's Jeff Calkins here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Be back in a second.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show. Live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
In an emergency, like life or death situation, absolutely, you want to make sure you're at Regional One Health. That's going to give you your best shot. But one of the things I've tried to remind you over the past couple of years is that you do not have to be in an emergency situation to take advantage of the great care at Regional One Health. And the East Campus Imaging Center is a wonderful example of that. It's located at 6555 Quince Road, right where 385 crosses Kirby Parkway. So it's easy to find, easy to get to. You can call them at 515-3600. And among the things you can get done at the East Campus Imaging Center is an annual mammogram. If you are a woman who is 40 and up, it is recommended that women 40 and up get an annual mammogram because doing so could save your life. Not doing so could cost you dearly. So if you qualify for that, make an appointment, 515-3600, 515-3600. That's the number to the East Campus Imaging Center. Now, to be clear, you don't need a referral, and you don't even have to make an appointment. But if you want to make an appointment, you can do that at 515-3600, 515-3600. You can learn more on the web, regionalonehealth.org, regionalonehealth.org. Talked a little bit in the first hour about the Zion Williamson situation, and I made a bunch of points. The largest one being that, you know, what the quote unquote shut it down crowd doesn't seem to take into account is that, you know, there's some real value to what Zion Williamson is doing at Duke. You know, when he fell and injured his knee last night, even though we now know it was a minor knee sprain and it will not require surgery, it didn't stop people from saying, but it could have been something major. And that's why he should shut it down, because you don't want to risk injury and you should just walk out on this season. That is to insist that there isn't real value from Zion's perspective to what he's doing, which is maybe having a chance to win a national championship on a massive stage, playing for the biggest brand in college basketball, playing with his friends in a way that he'll never get to play with his friends again. You know, these guys, you know, they wanted to go to college together to do something special, and they're actually doing it. You know, at a level nobody really, or very few people, anticipated in the preseason. You know, Zion Williamson was a YouTube phenomenon, and he has now turned into a basketball star. But before the season started, he was not projected to be a national player of the year, projected to be the number one pick in the draft. And now all of those things are right there. And to just walk away from it, like that, to suggest that he should do that is to suggest that those types of things don't matter to him or shouldn't matter to him. And I just have never thought, or at least for a long time I haven't thought, that it's wise to try to project what it is you think would matter to you if you were in his shoes onto a person who is actually in his own shoes. My go-to line every time is, as long as Zion Williamson knows the pros and cons of everything, or anybody like Zion Williamson knows the pros and cons of everything, and what he's risking and what he isn't, then they should be free to do whatever it is they want to do. Anybody insisting Zion's stupid if he doesn't shut it down is very, very myopic on the topic. Not to mention, he's made a lot of money while playing at Duke. And I don't mean like in a direct deposit way, because he is still under the umbrella of amateurism rules that are outdated and morally wrong. But there was no guarantee Zion Williamson was going to get like a $100 million contract coming out of Duke before the season started. But because he's turned into this phenom, he's almost certainly going to get a $100 million contract, if not more, by playing at Duke. He's helped his profile immensely, his marketing future, incredibly, by spending the past 4 months playing at Duke. But even if you take that and set it over here, you know, he's in a very reasonable position to win a national championship, to be the national player of the year, and to create a lifelong memory. That's not worth nothing. And if you are somebody on television or just, you know, at your job, you know, in your office building, screaming that he should shut it down, you're not taking those types of things into account. And I made all those points earlier. The one point I didn't make that I think is worth making is that the risk is minuscule. You know, when you talk about the risk of him actually costing himself something, it's so unlikely that he could injure himself in a way that would actually cost himself something. For instance, the big fear last night when he goes down is that, oh my God, maybe it's a torn ACL, right? And that would have been awful. It would have ended a season. It would have maybe taken a national championship off the table for Duke. It would have required surgery and rehab. He would not have been able to work out before the NBA draft. It would have been awful. You know where he'd have been picked come June?
Number one.
Still number one. He'd still be the number one pick in the draft, even if he tore his ACL. And so suffering these types of injuries that basketball players suffer sometimes, they would be awful. It'd be an awful thing. But it wouldn't be the thing that people actually try to point to when they talk about this. I saw it last night on TV, saw it all over Twitter, again today on radio, television. But what if Zion Williamson would have torn his ACL? That's why he can't play going forward. He got lucky last night that it wasn't serious. But what if it was serious? How much money would he cost himself? Not a dollar? I mean, really, not a dollar. He'd still be the number one pick in the draft? Nike, Adidas, Under Armour, Puma would still be lining up to give him $100 million contract. So this is not football. You know, in football, you are playing a sport where you might really suffer an injury that actually damages your long-term earning potential, that actually costs you as it pertains to the upcoming NFL draft. Again, unlikely as opposed to likely to happen, but it's certainly possible. It's not crazy to imagine. In basketball, the likelihood of something like that, again, not the likelihood of suffering an injury, but suffering the type of injury that would actually cost you your draft position or your shoe company contract, if you're somebody like Zion Williamson, it's just, it's minuscule. And so remember that when you know, the rest of the season, hear people talking about everything that Zion Williamson is risking. I'm not trying to say he's risking nothing, but he's risking very little. Even if he would have torn his ACL last night, or in any of Duke's maximum of a remaining 14 games, he'll be the number one pick in the 2019 NBA draft, and he'll still get the same kind of shoe company deal that he's going to get if he ends this college basketball season as healthy as he could possibly be. Be back with Dinner to Go.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
So Matt and Tara had a home in Collierville. They previously listed it with an agent not named Josh Hysall. That went on for months. It did not work well. But eventually, they did what I've been telling you to do for years. They got in touch with Josh right away. Got 20 showings. That home sold in less than a week for more than what they initially thought it would sell for. How did Josh Hysall do that? He did it with his 45-day guarantee. It's a system for selling homes that creates more demand and gets homes sold faster and for more money than the average agent. The first step has Josh helping you price your home in a way that makes it attractive to buyers. You guys agree on that price. Then Josh goes to work. And if your home isn't sold in 45 days at that agreed-upon price, Josh will step in and make the mortgage payments until it sells, or he'll simply buy the home from you. You pick, totally up to you, and it's a risk-free proposition. Working with Josh doesn't obligate you to anything. If he isn't doing his job, in your opinion, you can fire him, no questions asked. He has flexible fees. There are no upfront costs. So if you're trying to sell a home, use the guy I would use if I wanted to sell my home. It's Josh Hysall, 461-8147. He's on the web, joshsellsthemidsouth.com.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Off top, get guap, the hood got heavy metal like Slipknot.
Sleepy Z's Mattresses and Furniture by Michael Zellner is not your traditional mattress and furniture store. The prices are always 50% to 80% off retail stores, so they don't have to have sales. They're already killing the competition 52 weeks a year. Got an A-plus rating, Better Business Bureau. When readers of the Commercial Appeal were asked to vote for the best mattress store in the area, the winner 4 straight years, Sleepy Z's. But they don't just sell mattresses, also furniture. rugs, dining room sets, living room sets, anything you need to furnish your home, you can probably find it at Sleepy Z's. And if they don't happen to have it on the floor, don't freak out, because there is a 42-inch kiosk filled with furniture right there in the store for you to browse through. Find what you want, they'll get it for you. And remember, mention you heard about them on the Gary Parrish Show. You're going to save an additional 10%. That's at Sleepy Z's Mattresses and Furniture by Michael Zellner. It's located 2790 Kirby Whitten Bartlett at the corner of Summer Avenue next door to Hollywood Feed. And the phone number is 901-692-6200, 901-692-6200. At Sleepy Z's on the web, sleepyzzz.com. Let's do Dinner to Go.
Dinner to Go is presented by Humphrey's Prime Cut Shop, a Folks Folly original.
It's Dinner to Go. What did we learn today?
A whole bunch of stuff, but we mostly focused on Jeremiah Martin, who had a historic night last night inside FedEx Forum. He took 24 shots, made 15 of them, finished with a career-high 43 points, 8 assists, 6 rebounds, and 5 steals in the Tigers' 102-76 victory over Tulane. So the Green Wave are still winless in the AAC, and Jeremiah Martin is now the only player in Memphis basketball history to score at least 40 points multiple times. Also, the only player in American Athletic Conference history to score at least 40 points multiple times. And his 43 points last night, that's more points than anybody else in the history of the AAC. That's more points than anybody else has ever scored in an AAC game. So it was just an incredible performance without context. But the context makes it even more incredible. It's a guy who came in to the University of Memphis as the lowest rated, least heralded prospect in an 8-player class, ranked around 400th in his high school class, originally committed to Louisiana Tech, and he has gone from that to somebody who is doing things for a basketball program with an incredible history. He's doing things for that program that never been done before. You know, what he did last night is something that no other Memphis player had ever done. Not Penny Hardaway, not Larry Finch, not Keith Lee, not Chris Douglas Roberts, and not William Bedford, Lorenzen Wright, Rodney Carney, Derrick Rose. Nobody had ever scored 40 twice in the same Memphis career. Jeremiah Martin's done it twice in the month of February. So tip of the hat to him. He had said over the weekend he believes he's the best player in the American Athletic Conference, and if he keeps performing at this level, I think he'll have a lot of other people willing to make that case for him, you know, as the award season approaches.
What's the biggest game tonight?
NBA Celtics Bucks Fiserv Forum, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Celtics at 37-21 overall, 14-13 away from home. Bucks 43-14 overall, 23-5 at home. So Milwaukee is alone atop the Eastern Conference standings in first place. Boston 6.5 games back of the Bucks, tied for fourth in the standings with the Sixers. Bucks 5.5 point favorites tonight. The total is 227.5. Tip is scheduled for 7 Central. You can watch that on TNT.
What should I watch on TV?
Well, Big Bang Theory is on CBS at 7. That's America's most watched network, America's most awarded network, network of stars. Titan Games on NBC at 7. Grey's Anatomy is on ABC at 7. Vanilla Sky is on Cinemax at 7. Harlem Nights is on BET. That's the classic Eddie Murphy film. On BET at 8:05. If you're up late, Charles Pierce is on Jimmy Kimmel, Kate Upton on Jimmy Fallon, Annette Bening's on Stephen Colbert, and James Spader going to be on Seth Meyers.
Is there anything I need to make sure I read?
Spent a lot of time talking about Jeremiah Martin's performance last night inside FedEx Forum. I was not there for it because I was here in New York City, but Jeff Calkins was courtside. He wrote a column about it. You can read that dailymemphian.com.
What's on tap for tomorrow?
Well, we'll get ready for Clippers Grizz. Grizzlies start back this NBA season, where the goal is still to convey a 2019 first-round pick to the Boston Celtics. It starts tomorrow night, that quest against the Clippers. We'll get ready for Tigers-Wichita State this weekend. Dan Walken in the first hour, Jeff Calkins in the second. Should be fun. Enjoy your night. I'm going to enjoy mine. We're going to meet back here tomorrow at 4. Till then, be careful, be kind, be good, rep your hood.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.